the only daily business news broadcast in the Midwest, the Business News Hour is brought to you by RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices in Iowa and Nebraska, realestateconcepts.net, and Shaul Desmond CPAs. Looking beyond the numbers to help you and your business grow, shauldesmond.com.
It is the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for hanging out with us this afternoon as you wind your way home from another busy day. With us in studio is Jeff Speck. He's been kind enough to come to the studio and talk about his book called Walkable City. And we're going to explain what that is and the economic impact all of that has and the trends that are going on in every city and every village, it seems like, across the United States and around the world. Jeff, welcome to the Business News Hour. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So, you're in town.
For about the eighth time,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, this is kind of cool. You know, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, MPO, the Greater Des Moines Partnership, several other entities here in the Des Moines Metro are really high on alternative methods and means of transportation. And walking is one of those things. Tell us a little bit about you first, and then we'll get into walkability.
Well, I'm a city planner. I was trained as an architect, but I realized before too long that you could have much more impact on people's happiness and well-being if you focus at a slightly larger scale. And so I've been looking at cities now for more than 20 years. And we used to talk about urban design. We used to talk about all the planning reasons why walking was a good idea. But we've realized that everything we've been pushing for under the name of new urbanism sometimes or traditional town planning at other times is really all about walkability. So we've kind of changed the name of what we've been doing for many years under different names to actually a term that people seem to care about. But what's really been interesting is seeing, as someone who talks about walking as a planner, seeing three other groups talk about walking from their own perspectives, groups that people really listen to, and watching a much greater impact in people's opinions. Those groups are the economists, probably of interest to you, the epidemiologists, and the environmentalists. And what has been amazing as a planner is to see over the last 15 years how each of these groups, singing from their own hymnal, has essentially been preaching the same stuff that we've been pushing for, but frankly, much more effectively. Particularly the economic side.
Particularly the economics. Yeah. We're going to get into a little bit of that in just a moment. Over the years, it's been our revelation, since this has become such a hot topic, that cities, for the most part, existed with their streetscapes in a way to move traffic as quickly as possible out of the city.
Well, the idea was to invite people in and out of the city. And back in the 60s and 70s, when cities were basically having their lunches eaten by the suburbs. They said, how can we compete against the suburbs? And unfortunately, their answer was by making it easier to get into the city and out of the city to and from the suburbs. Additionally, another thought was, you know, okay, smooth traffic flow. What's the other half of that? Ample parking. Mm-hmm. And of course, a city can never be as ample in its parking as a suburb. So typically when the city tries to compete against the suburbs on the suburbs' terms, it loses. And what the cities have learned in the last, well, some more than others, have learned in the last decade or two is that the way the city can beat the suburbs is by being more urban, not more suburban. Mm-hmm. So what are the things that make a place urban? Actually, some traffic congestion, dare I say that, people driving slowly enough so that they're able to look around them and see the stores and the activity and the people on the sidewalks.
Amazing, isn't
it? Yeah. And then density of offices, of housing, of really all the aspects of daily life, hopefully in close proximity. And as that implies, mixed use. And the suburbs are known for separating things, pods of housing, pods of shopping, pods of offices. What makes downtown really special and what makes it walkable is the fact that you have all these things mixed together.
Mm-hmm. And in one general location. So now the transition, and we've watched some of these trends over the past couple of years, the transition is starting to move away from the suburbs, and it's very interesting, starting to move away from malls, starting to move away from the out there and bring it back in here. And we've been seeing the explosion here in the greater Des Moines area simply with housing. 3,200 new apartments are scheduled to be built between now and next year.
Yeah, it's amazing the numbers. I heard from the mayor just an hour ago that maybe a decade ago, perhaps 1,500 people lived in the downtown. And pretty soon it'll be 15,000 people living in the downtown. And by the way, as someone who travels around the world and all around the U.S., I do not know a city with a higher cranes per capita ratio than Des Moines. It's breathtaking to see all the construction and so much of it housing in the downtown core.
Yeah, and not only that, but what's really curious about all of this is the repurposement of buildings, the removal, interestingly enough, to your point, the removal of parking garages and finding a different utilization for that. And because, you know, we only have so much territory in the downtown city core, now it's starting to spread out and create new livable, walkable communities within a community.
Right. Yeah.
So south of, MLK. Right.
Yeah.
That whole design is built around the idea, well, we're going to have our own community here with all kinds of accoutrements.
And yet not that far from the downtown core. That's the sort of distance, and also as you look in the other directions, east, west, and north, where you start to look at bicycle connections. Because if these communities themselves are quite livable and affordable, as many of them are, and there's good ways to get downtown, either in transit or on a bicycle, then many more people have the opportunity to take advantage of everything that downtown offers without that expense of buying a car. One of the arguments the economists have been giving us recently is that the typical working American, as so defined by the federal government, is spending now as much for transportation as for housing. In fact, a little bit more.
That's scary.
It's scary. And the typical poor American, burdened by automobile ownership, is spending 40% of their income on transportation.
And curiously enough, up to 40% on their home.
So what's left?
Nothing.
Yeah, it's a crisis, and we've built ourselves into this crisis by creating a population that has the automobile not as an instrument of freedom like it used to be, but really as a prosthetic device just to live their daily lives.
Mm, yeah, and that has a societal impact at the same time. You know, Des Moines, Jeff Speck, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He is the author and a speaker on walkability here across the United States and worldwide. Jeff, thank you again for coming down and making time for us. You're going to be at the downtown library.
Central Library at 6 p.m. tonight.
Tick,
there's
tick, tick.
Hopefully still time to get there. It'll be our second public meeting today on our downtown transportation plan that we're doing. Essentially, it's a plan that looks at the streets of the downtown area. And we are expected and authorized to make recommendations for redesigning many or most of the streets in downtown Des Moines.
Now, some of those things that are kind of bubbling around is doing away with one-way streets.
One at a time, or I should say two at a time.
Two at a time,
the
yeah.
One-way pairs, which have been shown to be nationally to be bad for business and bad for safety.
Yeah. The other thing that has already taken place is we've seen redesigns of Ingersoll Avenue, which was really kind of a dying area. It was having some real issues.
Yeah.
And so they have slowed the traffic, put in a bike lane, and businesses are coming back.
I understand rents have tripled since that was done.
That's right.
And, you know, my understanding was that 80% of the people polled beforehand were against it. And even after it was completed and, you know, so many lives or at least injuries are being saved or avoided because of the safer organization, that most recent poll, 55% were still against it. And my response to that was to ask the city how they were doing their polling. Because if you put a questionnaire up online and ask people whether they
like a
change or don't like a change, people are always against change because, you know, it's the unhappy people who are noisy. The happy people are quiet.
Yeah.
I think if you did more scientific polling around the road diet on Ingersoll, for example, in which a four-laner became a three-laner plus bike lanes, you'd find people are very pleased with how it's turned out.
Let me offer you, Jeff Speck, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about walkability. Let's move. If we can, I'm going to tread very lightly on this because this is a hot button issue in one of the communities that is contiguous to Des Moines, and that's the village, I call it, of Windsor Heights. Mm. And there is a huge brouhaha there as the city is taking a look at installing sidewalks where no sidewalks exist. And a part of the conversation about that is that sidewalk and walkability in neighborhoods actually increases the value of the property because people can actually get around.
And they're afraid of their tax dollars going up.
Yeah, that's
I wasn't aware of that. I've heard of a similar thing in one other community. You know, the short-term impact may be negative. The long-term impact will be quite positive.
Right. And there's also talk in that same community, which is I'm stellar. I've been championing. I've been pushing the buttons on this for 3 or 4 years now. They have it's called University Avenue. Mm-hmm. The city speed limit in Windsor Heights is 25 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Right. But yet they have a 5-lane highway that you can land a 747 on it going right through town.
Yep.
And people go, oh, 25 mile an hour, you should go 60 down here.
Yeah.
Well, so now they're talking about bringing that in. Again, it's kind of an Ingersoll plan.
Right.
Shrinking the footprint and allowing people to enjoy.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one of the main things we've learned about driver behavior is that this marked, unless you're on a highway, in which case you see the speed limit and set your cruise control, unless you're on a highway, the speed that you drive is a function of the environmental cues you're receiving.
Exactly.
On a highway, engineers are taught that a wider lane makes it safer. And on a highway, that's true. On a non-highway, a wider lane makes you go faster. And therefore, it's not safer. And you know, we've been part of this movement really to retrain the engineering profession around the fact that cities are not highways.
Yeah, well, cities are to be lived in. And that's the other interesting thing. You talked about the 15,000, soon to be 15,000 people that will call downtown Des Moines their home. And what we're seeing with that is that retail is starting to come back to downtown. There's a menswear store. There's a grocery store coming. It's not just arts and entertainment any longer.
Right.
There are some real issues coming to bear with how you can actually stay here, live, take public transportation, and forget about a $500, $600, $700, $800 a month car payment.
Jane Jacobs, who wrote The Death and Life of Great American Cities, probably the best planning book ever, wrote in the early 60s about Wall Street, which was very different back then in New York. She said, of course, there's no great restaurant on Wall Street. And of course, there's no great gym on Wall Street because there's only lunchtime crowd. A great restaurant or a great gym needs lunchtime clientele and dinnertime clientele. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening in cities then is when you start to get the jobs housing balance back in check with this, you know, number of houses or number of people living there starting to approach the number of jobs, then you get this 24-hour city where it's firing on every cylinder and all the other stuff, the retail and the institutions start to come back.
Yeah. And we see that in some of the major cities in the United States. I mean, the first time I traveled to New York, for example, I was astounded that at 2 o'clock in the morning, there were almost as many people walking around on the streets as what there were at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
You must have been near Times Square.
I was. Yeah. I was.
I hate to, as a planner, I don't use New York as an example because
sure
people
don't
just say, well, that's New York, which is a real outlier. But the typical American city, even if the city itself is losing population, is now gaining population in its downtown core. Mm-hmm. People want to live there, particularly millennials, but also their parents, the empty nesters, who realize, another economic argument, that heating and cooling and cleaning a big house with a big lawn isn't a wise choice for aging. And also, as you become a less skilled driver, let's say, being dependent on your automobile to get around is not a healthy choice.
You know, it's interesting that you brought that fact up. Those two age groups, the baby boomers and the millennials, and folks have said, wow, you know, they've been having this kind of an intramural culture war between the two. Say, wow, not, you know, all this stuff. But it's interesting that those are the two groups that are now vacating the suburbs and coming downtown.
Not everyone, but enough so that the demand is far outpacing the supply, which is why, frankly, the greatest challenge in these gentrifying American downtowns has become affordability.
Everyone is expecting to get input on this entire study over the next several months and see where the heck we go.
Yes.
His name is Jeff Speck, ladies and gentlemen. He is author, lecturer on the walkable city, and we're talking about walkability not only in the city, but sometimes apparently in the suburbs, and how that will impact not only the economics of where we live and work, but also the future of our community. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Good stuff. Jeff Speck, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we've got to clear out of here. It's nigh on to 6 o'clock. That means, of course, that Jeff has got to be in another place in just moments from right now. You'll see him at the Central Library downtown Des Moines. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, and our first guest, Dr. Bob Leonard, talking about opportunities for nonprofits to get in front of the media. Good stuff. We'll have all that on the radio blog. Our producer is Tyler Hackenmiller, as he is each and every night, twisting the dials, making us sound great. Also, the program director for the radio stations is Pat Wood. Our liaison between us and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is Jimmy Olson, and the music that you're listening to right this moment was arranged, produced, and conducted by our good friend James Goodlett, especially for the Business News Hour. Thanks so much for being with us. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good night.